entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
All right, nice job on my girl Gina Bina there in that social media office with Dougie and Stephanie. The poll is up. And I predicted that Curtis, although he said I would win 90 to 10, I said, nah, you're going to win 90 to 10 because, you know, this is something that you want. You've done it before. You're in better position. Really the more capable candidate. I want no part of this. I mean, you got to be nuts to run for office. But, you know, you get a couple of millionaires in New York that go, Sid, let's do this. So I brought it up, and it was enough to create the poll idea. And the early returns have Curtis Sliwa doing what he should be doing, which is killing me. So. But then if we ran a poll, who should do the morning show, Curtis or Sid, I would kill him. So, see the difference there, Noam?
I do. As your campaign manager, I just want you to give it a little more time. We're only 7 minutes into the campaign, and the numbers
like
are not good.
20% of the vote, though.
No, you only have 18 currently. But that could change very quickly. Go to WABCradio.com. You can vote, and the numbers could change in the next half hour.
Well, I don't want them to change. I want Curtis to kill me, which makes me even feel better about never wanting to do this. My fear is that if I do well in something like this, I may be crazy enough to even think about this, which I can't because Danielle said she'll leave me, which
right. No,
I can't do that.
No.
Nothing is more important to me than my wife. So.
Of course.
Right. But if I win, I'll have to struggle with the idea. But if he kills me, then it's nice and easy, you know?
You know what? Just in the last 30 seconds, a surge of new votes have come in.
Yeah.
And the numbers have changed.
Am I doing better?
No. Yeah, unfortunately, no. But again, you just announced this less than a half hour ago, so people have
anything.
To get ready for
it. Well, I didn't announce anything.
Well, that you're thinking about it anyway.
No, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm telling you that very wealthy, influential New Yorkers want me to do this. I don't want to do this.
Well, you're going to have that meeting on Wednesday, and who knows what they'll tell you.
Well,
they might convince you.
Sure. And then I'm going to talk to Trump. And I'll get Trump's endorsement, then we'll see how tough these voters are.
Oh, wow, he's really up. Oh, okay.
How bad is it?
89 to 13?
That's 102. Doesn't even make any sense. I mean, 89-11.
Well, no, 13 points. I mean, there's points. There it goes out to decimal points.
Oh, okay.
So it should. Yeah,
whatever,
it does add to.
What a mess. Rich Lowry is the editor of the National Review. NBC Politico, he does it all. He's the best. I love him on a Monday morning. Rich Lowry, good morning, Rich. How are you, buddy?
Sid, sounds like you're the Nikki Haley of this online poll.
Pretty much. Yeah, Nikki Haley, that's a very good, it's worse. I'm more like Chris Christie.
Congrats to your Rangers. My Capitals really shouldn't have been in the playoffs. The wild card race in the East was a joke, at least for the last pole position. But it's good to get the sweep. I'm going to play fewer games rather than more.
I got to tell you, that for me, I'm not surprised the Rangers swept them because, like you said, the Caps had to have a great last month and a half, really behind the goaltender, the Ranger defenseman's brother, Charlie, to get there. But the play of Ovechkin was really disappointing. He had a great second half. He propelled the Capitals to the playoffs. He did nothing in this series. Nothing.
Yeah, well, the Caps, it was about 10 games left in the season, and they lost 6 out of 7 and somehow stayed in the wild card race and then won the last 3. But we'll see. Playoff hockey's great. I didn't pay much attention to this one because I knew the result.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be over. So we'll see your Rangers and Hurricanes. So let me ask about a person, which I know you wrote about in the National Review, and I believe the person's name is Kamani James.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks are not going to know that name. No, it's not LeBron's brother. Kamani James, who is this person, and why does this person yield so much power in New York City?
Yeah, so Kamani James is this freak who said he wants to kill Zionists, right? And he posted this to his own Instagram, this rant about Zionists, which was a while ago. But for me, it says so much about this moment in our culture and in academia that the foremost anti-Semite at Columbia, of course, is transgender. You know, he goes by he, she, and they, And he had this rant with two Columbia administrators. Like, I'll kill Zionists. You know, if they get in my face, you know, when I fight for real, and I'll probably fight to kill. And they're like, do you see anything inappropriate about that? He's like, no. And then he stopped with them and went on in private with even crazier things. And we didn't hear anything about this. You know, we never would have known, right? They just let him walk out and become the leader of this protest. And I don't know if you've seen the video of it's at night, and the protesters, someone screams, "There's a Zionist in the encampment," and then they all do this like call and response thing, so everyone repeats, "There's a Zionist in the encampment," and then they all get together and start marching, you know, like brown shirts or something, to confront this one or two Jewish kids. And it's this guy Kamani James who's at the head of these people. So it's disgusting. You know, and this is what elite education created this guy. The anti-Americanism, the anti-Semitism, the sense of entitlement, it's rotten to its core.
It's more than disgusting. It does, for me at least, beg the question of, is it even legal? So we're going to take a short break. I actually cut a video from the same chair. I've got a chair, Rich Lowry, in my family room at home. And I sat in that chair on Sunday, October the 8th. And I sat in that chair the day after Iran attacked Israel a couple of weeks ago. And I sat in that same exact chair yesterday. Sunday morning, I have my coffee. And before I watch Maria Bartiromo, I usually cut a video. It's always 60 seconds long. And I talked about the First Amendment and what people like Kamani James and these animals on campuses all over New York City can, and in my opinion, shouldn't be able to get away with. More of Rich Lowry coming back.
On my shoulder, feeling kind of older, I trip the merry-go-round with this very unpleasing sneezing and wheezing. The calliope crashed to the ground. Some old hot head stop was in for a hot spot, snapping his fingers, clapping his hands. If some buckshot, turn up the band. And she was blinded by a light. Oh, cut loose like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. She got down, but she never got tight. But she'll make it all right.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event. So give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Sid Rosenberg with you, back in the same chair I was sitting in after the October 7th attacks and after Iran attacked Israel a couple weeks ago. Here to tell you that these strict constitutionalists who tell you these animals on these campuses have a First Amendment right, here to tell you they are full of No, they don't. When you start talking about Final Solution, which is what the Nazis talked about when they exterminated 6 million Jews, when people are getting violent on campuses, intimidating and threatening and actually hitting people. That is not a First Amendment right. It is time for city officials, state officials, federal officials to step in and do their jobs, protect the Jewish students and protect the Jewish people. I am so sick and tired of the rights for everybody else. What about us? Get your back together. So that was me from my, you can tell, I just woke up, voice a little bit on groggy Sunday morning. But I was so angry after Judge Napolitano was here Friday. I've heard Morano and others say it. This is a First Amendment right. I think I actually heard Napolitano, who I love dearly, say, I'd be sitting right there with the students. I mean, you got to be kidding me. First Amendment right? They start bringing up the Final Solution. They killed 6 million Jews. They're waving Hezbollah flags. That's a First Amendment right. If it is, I got news for you. The Constitution is outdated. And I know strict constitutionalists are going to yell at me, Sid, shut up. The Constitution is perfect. If this is okay, if the Constitution says this is okay, it ain't perfect. What do you think about that, Rich Lowry? That's right. I'm going after the Constitution. This cannot be okay anymore. It can't.
Well, I draw a couple distinctions. If they rented, legitimately rented a lecture hall, and they had someone come in and say, Israel doesn't have the right to exist as a settler or a colonial state and should be wiped from the map, that's free speech. Trespassing, one, is against policy and illegal. Two, harassing people is against policy and shouldn't happen. And three, if you can actually have a free speech attitude, it needs to be viewpoint neutral. So tell me, do you believe that if these were white supremacists chanting all this anti-Semitic stuff, the school would be negotiating with them?
Well, let me stop you right there. Forget about the school, because I made this point. It's funny you say this. I made this point twice already this morning. Forget about the school. I saw Mayor Eric Adams on with Al Sharpton, MSNBC. They played a clip. And Adams said, look, if the school doesn't call us, we're not going in. It's not our jurisdiction. We're not going in. I said to Curtis this morning, I said, what you just said, what if they were protesting blacks? Do you think Eric Adams would wait for the school to call? I asked four guys on my show. Without any hesitation, they all said, no way. They would go against that. They'd be on that campus today. Don't you agree? Forget about the school. The mayor would be there.
It would be a threat to every New Yorker if blacks were being threatened and Eric Adams would go in. But, Sid, it's not just that who's being victimized that makes a difference. It's who the perpetrators are. It's left-wing anti-Semitism is okay or gets much more room for maneuver than anti-Semitism of the right. And I'm like you. I hate it all. You know, it all should be condemned. It's all horrible. But if these kids were white supremacists, they would have been gone the first day, never to come back. They would have been expelled. And by the way, that's how you stop all this. Expel a couple kids. Make the threat. Say whatever it is, you know, wherever the line is. And when someone crosses it, expel them. And they would all go home immediately.
So I've been doing this for 25 years, okay? And you know, I'm one of those guys that is not uncomfortable telling everybody how great I am. But I learned from some of the old-time greats. I was on and off the Imus in the Morning Show for 18 years. Say what you want about Don Imus. He was one of the all-time greats. I listened to Howard Stern every day. I was a guest of his four times and even hosted Whack Pack Bowling on Howard TV. And I've always said, and I'll include Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, anybody you want, when it comes to hosting radio, Howard Stern, my opinion, is in a total class by himself. It's over. After what I saw this weekend with Biden, I have kind of bit my tongue the last couple of years over Howard's relationship with Stephanopoulos and all these horrible liberals and how Howard has basically sold out. I still found a way to call him great. After hearing this, it's over. Lewis, cut number three.
You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love, because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'll be a good father to the country. And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin, the incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history, 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist.
So clearly, the last, I don't know, 3 years, I've been missing all this, because Howard Stern, to say he was gushing is an understatement. Howard Stern sounded so stupid there, did he not?
Yeah, father of our country?
Like, what?
Is Biden the czar? It's
and he's such a great dad. I mean, no, he's such a great dad. Look at Hunter. What a great job.
Yeah. And it's like he's, this is what an NPR interviewer, or how he would interview Joe Biden if he had no self-respect, right? That's what it sounds like. Yes. You know, he's using the dulcet, soft tones. You know, you're so wonderful, sir. And half of what he said is wrong.
Wrong.
So he doesn't know anything.
Nothing.
So I was never a huge Howard Stern fan, but obviously he was. If you say he's great, he was great, and he was, you know, he was outrageous, right? And this is the opposite of, or it's outrageous, but in an embarrassing way, because he's become part of the elite and absorbed kind of elite political attitudes. So that was embarrassing.
Embarrassing. I mean, here's a Howard Stern that I actually loved. This dates back 25 years ago, Rich, but this is the Howard that I loved. In a phone call with President Trump. Cut number four, Lewis.
President Donald Trump is on the phone. My theory is that Donald is really not running for president.
You think he's just promoting a book?
Yeah, he doesn't need the air commission. Donald.
Hi, Howard.
How are you?
But I am having a good time.
Mr. President.
Well, you have to endorse me, Howard.
Yes, sure, I'll endorse you. What else have I got to do?
Tell you what, this country won't be ripped off anymore, Howard.
I know, you'll get a good deal.
We'll get good deals.
Well, guy's a great businessman.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of good deals and lots of lower taxes.
Let me talk to that broad in your bed.
I could almost have her talk to you.
You could?
Let me just say, actually, she's outside in another room listening to this.
What is she doing, actually? What is she wearing?
I don't know. Maybe I should get her in. Do you want me to get her in?
Yeah, let me talk to her for a second. Let me talk to her. What's her name again? Melanie?
It begins with an M.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
You are so hot.
Oh, thank you.
I see pictures of you. I can't believe it. You're a dream.
This son of a bitch is literally humiliating Trump's, you know, at the time, fiance or wife, I don't know, hitting on her. That was his shtick. I understand all that. Telling him how great he is. He's a great businessman. He'd be a great president. Listen to that Stern and the Stern 25 years later with Biden, and now you know why I've turned on him, right?
Yeah, but that was good radio, right?
Right!
You'd listen to that.
Right!
If I were driving and listening to that and stopped in my garage, I'd stop and see how it turned out, right?
That's right. He was great back then. He's a sellout now. Let's get to Trump. He is not in court today. He's back in court tomorrow. He's now been in court for 8 days. All that David Pecker testimony last week. We still haven't heard, of course, from Cohen or Daniels yet. Depending upon what you watch, like I saw Greg Jarrett say that David Pecker's testimony on Fox News actually helped Trump. What did you see last week?
I don't see how it's relevant. Those he wasn't involved in the Stormy Daniels payment, and this isn't about paying women to keep them quiet. That's not the alleged crime. I just think this is, it gets me angrier and angrier every day that you have a presidential candidate stuck in that room, you know, for 4 days a week. And if this case, if he's acquitted or this case is overturned on appeal, where does he go to get that time back? You know, that's a precious resource in a presidential campaign, and they're just sucking it up. And this case is ridiculous. You know, now we know the other crime is also a misdemeanor, right? So it's supposed to be a felony. The misdemeanor becomes a felony because it was in the commission of another crime. Well, the other crime is this New York election law, supposedly, and that's a misdemeanor. So you're adding up two misdemeanors to make them 34 felonies. It's totally outrageous in every respect.
And yet, odds are he's still going to be convicted, yes?
Yeah, I would say like 30% chance. There's a juror just says no, you know, and it's a hung jury. Or, you know, you it becomes a misdemeanor, and then you have an issue with the statute of limitations having expired on the misdemeanor, which is another outrage here. So, you know, 20-30% chance that he's not convicted of a felony, which would be a big victory. But still, the trial itself is the punishment. It doesn't matter the outcome. I mean, they desperately want the outcome. But even if they don't get it, to have kept a presidential candidate locked up like this for a couple months is crazy and serves their purposes, and they all know it.
It does, but it doesn't. Because what if I said to you that this last weekend the new polls came out and Trump lengthened his lead? That's what happened.
Yeah, there's a good CNN poll for him. You know, Biden, I think, was at 46, an incumbent president at 46. So, and Trump's using his time, you know, with the statements before and after he goes in. There was that great moment for him last week with the hard hats, which is just incredible. Chanting USA, USA, just so into him. So, and that stuff gets played, right? Because everyone's obsessed with the trial. But still, this is not what you'd want your candidate to be doing in isolation. He very well might win anyway. I still favor him, but it's just wrong. It's just deeply wrong what's happening.
You are right. Rich Lowry, as always, excellent job. Love having you on Monday mornings. Have yourself a great week, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed.
My man.
You need a John Meacham. I'll be your John Meacham for mayor. I'll write these vaulting speeches for you. Then I'll go on Morning Joe and say how brilliant and sensitive you are.
All right, done. You're hired. That is the great Rich Lowry. Man, he's funny. Rich Lowry, the editor of the National Review and Politico and NBC and all of it.